Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 728. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I mean, who among us doesn't draw a pornographic sketch on all of our birthday messages?
Sure. I don't know if I have, but sure. Earl is here.
Ooh, banana.
Yes. I don't know if Donkey Kong does that either, Tony. Like
maybe he does.
He might. I don't know. He just Pauline talks to him like he has conversations back, but he does. He just says "ooh banana." That's about it. Yeah, we've been away for a couple weeks. I was on vacation, and we're back. And there's lots of stuff to talk about. That's not the garbage that is going on in the world. I mean, there's lots of that to talk about too, but
yeah,
we generally, not that we shy away from it.
Say, we talk about it usually.
Yeah. It's been a wild 2 weeks on that front as well.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that the party of protecting children would protect pedophiles?
I didn't see
that threat coming at all.
Basically, just shut down the government to do it too. Like, we're going to send everybody home, so we don't have to take any votes on it. Possibly being released while the Department of Justice wipes all traces of his name. Just evidently taking longer than they thought it would.
Everywhere. It's all over it. So many places.
And like the that extreme right wing side of things is like they're biting each other's heads off right now.
I mean, they're always so reasonable. I don't understand right. Why this is happening.
That's been going on. I think Earl may have mentioned this before we started recording, but Hulk Hogan died today as well. We're not over here mourning about that. He was the third of the celebrity trifecta this week.
I will say I had very complicated feelings about Hulk Hogan dying, and I was able to, I think, process them in that I mourn the character that was Hulk Hogan. I do not mourn the person that was Hulk Hogan.
Yes, that's fair. Like I was never a Hulk Hogan fan, so I don't have that touch, but I'll have to approach that at some point when Ric Flair finally bites the bucket, because he is a shit ass human as well.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people of that era are. I mean, it was a very different beast back then, but yeah, it's. But yes, Hogan has, I think, one of the most complicated legacies, because Kiri, like, means so much to the industry that I still partake in and enjoy. But for the past 20 years, it's been nothing but he's an awful human being and not even in like a redeemable way. Where I don't think he's tried to redeem himself.
No, I don't think he ever really thought that he did anything wrong.
Yes. And I mean, you know, that topple with the fact that last year he's ripping off his shirt for the Republican National Convention. I mean, granted, I was done with him, you know. I mean, just for backstory, this whole racist thing came out about him because he was talking to somebody about his daughter's music career after having sex with them. Who does that?
It's a fair question.
Who talking to me about my daughter's music career and her boyfriend?
Yeah. He's one that I don't have good words for. I never have. Like, even before I knew he was a shitbag, I just never did not ever like him as a performer.
But I like one of the highlights of his life is the lawsuit that he had over a video that was released of him having an affair.
Yeah.
Great. You're a good person. Good person, Terry.
too much pork, brother.
Jeff has joined us. The last thing I like, and Earl, maybe you know something different, but the last thing I remember Hulk Hogan even like hitting the news for was when he was basically booed off of the wrestling stage.
At the Netflix movie at the start of the year. I mean, it's that, and he's just been put in because, you know, actually when everybody was against Bud, right? So he created Throw American Bear, and he's just been put in that constantly. And of course, that also came out to be racist because I think at some point, I think it was in Florida or somewhere, they had like black women showing the bears off, and he basically got them fired because he didn't want that. That wasn't representing his brand. So yeah, racist shitbag won't be missed, but...
Wasn't he at the RNC last year? He like ripped off a shirt.
Yeah.
Idiocracy.
Won't be missed, but I'm sure that the people. I'm sure there are many people in your boat, Earl, that have mixed kind of feelings. As like they grew up with him as kind of like as a hero, that character, but then he became turned out to be a total shitbag.
He was, like, when we were kids, dude, you gotta admit, he was, like, huge. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, he was definitely huge. As I said earlier, like, I've never been a fan, but he was massive. Like,
he was, like, Michael Jackson. I mean, maybe not quite, but, like, that's how, like, ubiquitous he was in the 80s.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's, I mean, Rocky.
He was in Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, again... you know, he hosted, he was on MTV, he hosted SNL. He was a big part of the 80s and, again, 90s to a lesser extent, I think. I think, again, for wrestling fans, I think he's a huge part of the 90s, but I think his pop culture cash had expired by then.
Was he still big in wrestling in the 90s, too? Yeah. I remember the 80s.
He became big, like, I wouldn't say bigger, but he... So he left WWF and, you know, he sought out to be like a movie star. He did that TV show, Thunder in Paradise. Was that what it was called?
Yes.
He tried to do some other movies and stuff. That didn't really pan out for him.
I remember that one movie. I mean, I don't think I've seen it, but I know, like, you know, like he's like a babysitter or something.
I didn't say there's a few. Yeah, that Suburban Commando. No, that's not Suburban Commando. That's Mr. Nanny. He does Suburban Commando. He does Mr. Nanny. He does Santo at Musu's. He's in a Three Ninjas movie. Again, complicated. I've seen a lot of his movies when I was... To be fair, I think I've seen a lot of them when I was older, too, but that's also because I just enjoy bad movies.
This does not surprise me, Earl.
but then he became big again in wrestling, Jeff, like at the mid to late 90s. When he became evil Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
See, I don't remember. I remember, like, I was never huge into wrestling, but I remember, like, in the night, like, the late 90s, it was, like, The Rock and Stone Cold.
He said that was WWE. He was over on WCW, the competing.
Oh, was he? Really?
Ted Turner, yeah. And for a while, what was it, 82 weeks or something like that, Earl? Yeah. They actually were the number one promotion. In wrestling, they were outperforming WWF, or like, I think they were still WWF at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point you've probably heard of the NWO.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that played itself out even before the end of of WCW, but
yeah, I mean,
he was pretty big then. Go ahead, Earl.
I don't know, but yes, that was it. And then I think I cut you off because you're also going to say it was also Ozzy Osbourne and Malcolm Jamal Warner, who I think is the saddest one because I think the others kind of died of natural causes.
Yeah, he drowned, and he was relatively, I mean, not young, but he was 54. Like, he's only 7 years older than me.
It's sounding young to me.
Right. Like,
I want to live.
Right. It's like, Like the other two, like Hogan was what, 71 and Ozzy was 78, 79?
76. Yeah. But think about that. Ozzy lived longer than this guy. I mean, I know wrestlers die young often, but like this guy who is like ripped and shit. Meanwhile, Ozzy's been fucked up since the 70s and he somehow lived a longer life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Ozzy's been sober probably for 20 years, but you know.
Yeah, and he's been like he's been battling Parkinson's for the last 5 years. He was I don't know if you saw the stuff from his farewell show that just happened.
Yeah, dude, that's what blew me away. Like I was like I'm a fan of Black Sabbath, so I saw that, I was like, that's so awesome. Like he was sitting down, but he was able to do the show. Like he did good, I think. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like Ozzy died. What the fuck? Like he went out like a fucking legend.
As big as you can. I think they made multiple millions of dollars in charity from that event too. So, but yeah, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who most would probably know from the Cosby Show, as one of the Huxtables. But that one's super sad. Yeah, so yay, death. Like I don't know where to move from there. I have no idea how to move that. Like it's been a shitty week for a variety of reasons. But one thing that maybe will make us all happy is Donkey Kong.
Ooh, banana.
Yeah, you missed my intro, yeah. It's a great question. It's up there with Dine Get.
Does he say anything else?
I don't even think it's him saying it.
Oh, it's okay.
It's like a voice that says it.
It's like everything else in this world talks, just not Donkey Kong.
I don't think any of the other gorillas talk. Well, they talk, but I guess they have like Pauline talks.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's voiced. The other one, like I just fought Poppy. Yeah, she was annoying.
Invisible one.
Like, yeah, she takes like an invisibility potion and then dashes around.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has dialogue, but it's all like word bubbles, not.
Yeah. Same with Grumpy.
Yeah.
Is anyone like how far y'all?
I think I just revealed where I'm at. Like I'm at the ice stage, I guess. So I just beat Poppy.
What?
I don't know if you fight them multiple times, but
so we have
what floor?
500, 501 maybe.
You're just getting into it.
Yeah, I have like 150 some bananas. I'm sure you're at like 4 bajillion bananas, Jeff.
No, I. That's really sad for me because I only have like 200 something that I'm at the end of the game.
I think that's what's really like what's doing it for me is like I'm just wandering around the levels and I'm kind of like moving towards the next location, but there's so much shit to find.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's like the challenge rooms or like, oh, like you hit your sonar and you see a banana in a mountain or down below you, so you just start digging or smashing stuff. Like it's really easy to kind of just get distracted and pick up 15 bananas before you get to your next location.
Yeah, you could like literally like sometimes just go off like randomly, like just randomly like punch a wall and like you will find something that's like integral to the level. Like it, you know, you need it to beat the level, but it like unlocks something huge on the other side of the level. It's kind of crazy how much shit like there is that is. I mean, a lot of it is just dig and find a banana or whatever, but like there is some cool shit like that. Like, or you'll find a challenge room in the middle of a wall. It's
yeah. I mean, I guess we're talking about Donkey Kong.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm at it. It gets weird somewhat because you went through sub-level 400, which does the thing where you spit. So depending on which way you go, the ice level is 500, and then you go right. That's the forest area, and that's 600. You have to go back eventually to do it. And then, but if you beat, I assume if you beat, I beat 5 takes you to 700. That's when I went back to get 600. So I'm doing 600 now, but I've also done, I've seen some of 700.
Like Earl said, you do have to go back to that split path level, and you'll do both paths.
Okay. Yeah. It forces you back, or
yes, no. you have to. Okay. And okay, I'll just go with the left path. What is it? The not the force one, the other one first.
The ice one. Yeah. I went left, and it's like, oh, all right, it's the ice level. That sounds fun. There is a zebra bonanza.
I told Chris this, I guess kind of a spoiler. There's like a boss that you have to chase around all the levels. It's so cool. Like, that's just such a neat idea.
How far in is that one, Jeff?
Can't remember. It's not too deep. Like, it's maybe around 800-900 or something. And you're going up and down through. First off, like, I think one of my favorite things about the game is like how, like, the structure of the levels is you're just going deeper and deeper. Like, each level is like you're, you know, diving down into the next. I don't know why I love that so much. It really is. It's just like different levels, but it makes it feel like a big open connected, like, open world, even though it's not really, if that makes any sense.
It does. There's like a connective tissue to everything. Like, when you go through those tunnels,
and it's
part of this big world.
It's such a simple video gamey concept. Like, you just have to keep going deeper into this planet. Like, I just think that's so fucking neat. And then the other thing, which I mentioned to Chris, is the map. I think the map is like superb. Like, it's just like the Metroid Prime map, but it actually looks like the level. Like, I don't know. You can pretty much see everything on it if you look at it.
Yeah, it's a really good 3D map, I think.
Because I think it's the best I've seen.
Because it also has to account for, like, the depth of the level. And it does a really good job of communicating that.
It also represent, like, what you've done to the level, because you alter the level, like, and then you pull up the map, it shows that.
Yeah. I think overall, I will say I'm really enjoying it. I don't necessarily, because I know people have said it, I personally don't think it's as good as Odyssey so far.
Oh, really?
I think I'm with you on that, Earl. Like, I just prefer what, you know, Mario brings to the table there.
Like, his moveset better?
Yeah, and like, the, you know, it's a little more, not that there isn't platforming stuff here, but it's like, I think that's more where I align. Like, often you can just smash your way through shit.
If you made me choose, I'd probably choose Donkey Kong, but they're both so great, and like, they're both so clearly like the same team. And like, if you played Odyssey and then you play this, like, it's, you wouldn't even have to ask. Like, it's obviously the same team. Like, there's so many little things that are the same, but also different, you know. And
yes, and I think that it. And I think, I mean, honestly, I was happy about that, because I think, again, I was looking forward to the game. I think it was exciting from when they announced it, but the fear would be you're just smashing stuff. And that is very true. Sometimes you are just smashing stuff, but there's a rhyme and reason to it. It's also, you know, because of that, because that's a key component of the game, it's also very interesting in regards to that. I don't necessarily consider it a platformer too much. More like, it's in the vein of Mario 64, which is more like an exploration platformer or something like that, an adventure game. But you end up digging down so often, and it's like the opposite of what you do in platformers. You either, you know, tend to stay horizontal, you go vertical. So digging down is something kind of new and exploring the levels. And I do like that. One of the things I've read in reviews and I kind of agree with is I think there are so many ways that you could have screwed up the camera in this game. And I think for the most part, they do a really good job of keeping Donkey Kong in perspective of the stuff around him, so you're never really too at a loss for what is nearby and what you can seek out, or where the hell he is. I think they also made some smart decisions with regards to exploration. I think the sonar trap is a really great way to get around the fact that you are exploring a bunch of stuff. How do you actually let people know what you need to see? If it's just visually very dense, and a pretty busy world.
Yeah, I think it does a lot of really smart things. Like it's, I think it's my favorite Donkey Kong game, probably since the arcade game. So,
yep, same. But I say that as a fan, like
you like Country.
I love the original Donkey Kong Country. Like, blew my fucking mind when it came out. I don't care what Miyamoto thinks. I thought it was amazing. I still think it's amazing. And, you know, Tropical Freeze, while being very hard, is, like, kind of hard to deny how good that game is. But this is just the best. Like, and it's not as difficult as the Donkey Kong Country games.
There's some hard challenges.
There's hard challenges, and there's stuff, as you get deeper, that I found difficult. Sometimes, like, I would get to a boss, and I just wouldn't know what to do, or a challenge room, and I wouldn't know what to do. I had to look up stuff sometimes. There's one boss I found super fucking annoying, where, like, you couldn't hurt him unless you like, lured him into these shafts of light. And so, like, you know, he gets lured in the shaft of light, and, like, his material changes to, like, ice, and so, like, you could break him up and beat the shit out of him. But it's so finicky, like, if he's, like, 1 millimeter off, it, like, undoes, and you're like, fuck. And there's all the shit flying at you. I found that boss so annoying, dude. But for the most part, it is, like, I'd say the similar difficulty level to Odyssey, you know. For the most part, it's not very hard. I love this game. I think it's great. It's definitely a Game of the Year contender. I have one complaint. Like, if I have one criticism of the game, it's that the gold. When you die, you lose a significant chunk of gold. It's like usually like 10%, right?
I thought it was set at 500.
Yeah, I'm hitting like 500 currently.
You have 5,000 gold.
I have like 8. I had like 8. I'm normally between like 5 and 8.
To me, because of the, like, nature of the game, you, like, want to experiment and fuck around, and that, like, disincentivizes that, because you're like, oh shit, I died. And then also, like, I find it very weird that the gatekeeping is locked behind the gold instead of the bananas, to the point where you're like, why do I need the, like, yeah, you need the bananas to, like, level up, but if you really are going for the bananas, then you could, like, probably max that out, like, halfway through the game. And it makes the bananas seem just, like, less important.
It's also very weird, because I didn't realize that was a thing, and then I ran into a character who's like, oh, pay me some gold, and I was
I was short.
I wasn't even that short. I was just like, oh, there has to be some other way for me. Like, maybe I need to get an upgrade or something to do this.
No, that's it.
Like, oh, and, no, I just gotta pay them, okay?
And you guys should know that in the final level, which I'm on right now, you need a significant chunk of gold to get through the level. Like, there is pretty big gate. I want to say, like, 14,000. You'll need, like, 14,000 to get through the final level. I'm at the, like, last gate of the final level. I need 9,999 gold, and I have, like, 6 gold. Like, I like, set it all up, go through the level. So now, but, you know, and I'm going to get to go back through the layers and just fuck around like an idiot. And, you know, probably a half hour I'll have what I need. But just know that going in.
I feel like they don't make a big deal about it often to then be like, oh, you need a lot of
it. You need it at the end. And then it's just weird. It just feels weird that it's the gold instead of the bananas. It's not a big deal. But, like,
or honestly,
again,
I mean,
my big deal is that when you die, the penalty of gold is, like, too much for a game where you're supposed to be fucking around.
Okay.
And so, like, I probably could have paid the last gate 10 times over, because I died so many times doing stupid shit or dying to bosses. And I guess that's just how it is. But, like, to me, it just seems like at odds with the spirit of the game a little bit. I understand you have some sort of challenge and, you know, not make it like you just roll over the game, but it's weird to me. It's weird that you lose so much gold when you die.
It makes
me too cautious playing. Like,
I was gonna say anything. I'm surprised it wasn't the Banandium coins. I feel like those are just collectibles to be collectibles. I know you can get bananas with them,
Yeah, I trade them in and get bananas every, like, I don't get a lot. Like, I'll get like one or two at a shop, but.
But yeah,
that's another thing from Odyssey. There's so many little things that are from Odyssey like that. You know, like the every level you're in,
you can buy clothes. Yeah.
You can buy clothes from the shops, but the shops are different in every level. Like, again, if you've played Odyssey and you just play this, you would absolutely know it's the same people that made it. Like, this feels like the successor to it. And I guess I don't know the spoiler of it, but I guess it somehow ties in with Odyssey, or there's some sort of big reveal at the end. I don't know what it is. Do you guys know?
You marry a banana. That's
I would assume it has something to do with Pauline.
Okay. Yeah.
Pauline marries a banana.
Yeah, that's it. What were you gonna say, Earl?
I don't remember what I was gonna say now.
Tony, you're playing it too, right, Tony?
So I have it. I have it. I mean, my kids have the Switch too and have been playing it obsessively.
Okay.
So
I
will get to play it, but it's not me specifically.
Does Tony's profile say like 47 hours?
No, it's like the same as me. It says played for more than 20 hours. I was like, damn, Tony loves this game. Like, holy shit. Like,
sure. Love it so much. My kids were here this past weekend, and I was like, I'm going to play some Donkey Kong. It's going to be great. And they were on it the whole time. Like, I did not get it. And, like, I didn't even get to see it. They, like, normally when they play games like that, they'll play it, like, in docked mode so I can, like, watch. They're like, my son is, like, on the top bunk of his bed with it in handheld mode. I'm like, oh.
Well, I hope you get to play it. Like, again, if you like Odyssey, I think you'll dig it. It is different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, again, Donkey Kong is such a different moveset than Mario. But other than that, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, and then I also think, you know, there's some, again, like I said, I like the sonar. I think that's really cool. But then there's also some really fun and stupid things. Like the little houses, which doesn't really add a ton most of the time, but I like building them.
I buy everyone.
I stopped buying them because I didn't realize like I buy like one or two.
The more you buy, the more extra hearts you get.
Yeah, I totally get them.
You buy one. I'm a cheap person.
They do start getting expensive though. Cause, like, I think I bought like seven or eight in the last level I was at.
Yeah, I'll buy all of them. I don't give a fuck.
If my Jeff has no gold,
that's why I'm rolling around with the 6,000 to 8,000 gold, and Jeff has six.
I'm almost at 50,000 here.
Yeah, so you're very frugal. Like, I'm like, I'll buy a house here. Seems cool.
I buy every house, and I've like, I think I'm one away from maxing out my hearts. On the skill, like, that's the first thing I went after. I was like, I need more hearts because I know how these games, like how Donkey Kong games are, they're like kind of brutal. So I was like, I'm maxing out the hearts right away.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on, hearts and strength.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the thing I went at the first is the sonar.
Okay,
yeah, that's good. Because you see the bananas through walls and shit. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
I just found one.
Yeah, maybe I maxed out my strength so I can punch through all the terrain levels easily, and I'm like halfway through my hearts. Maybe I'll work on sonar next.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. One of the things, you don't use it that often, or I haven't used it that often, but I do like, is the balloons.
Yeah, I have a bunch of them though. I've been finding them like in the open world.
I do, I have a bunch of them. I have not bought any, but I do like that. It's like you fall off the stage. We're not going to penalize you. Here's a thing to pop you right back to. Not where you are, but something nearby. So it's not like this whole, we got to do
DKC,
a whole
DKC, you know, like those are in like the recent games. Like this, I don't know.
Oh, they're from Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
So weren't they?
I think they were. I think they worked similarly. If you fell, like, you know, in a pitfall, it would pull you out.
Probably maybe if I'm you wrong. Ran it's out of them. Yeah. Maybe if you ran out of them, it was game over.
I think they were dives. I know they were dives in Returns and Tropical Freeze.
Really?
Yes, because that's what you would buy from the shop. It would be the balloons, and then what was the other thing? Yeah, but yes, I do like that here. Just because I was in the shop, and I'm like, oh yeah, you could buy a bundle of these things.
I think you can upgrade in skills and like, so you can carry more than one apple juice too.
Yeah.
I haven't used any of the items. Like, what's the apple juice do?
It refills your hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that would be helpful. Yeah. How do you use it though?
It's automatic. Just automatically. When you hit zero,
like a fairy bottle.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess the other soda or whatever is like, it gives you full with the Bonanza energy or whatever.
Or it gives you, I think it's, you can trigger Bonanza mode without having a full
bar.
Oh, meter. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but I feel like I've never been in a situation where my Bonanza.
I have. I mean, usually you can find the gold like right by you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the levels are normally designed so it's like, this is a boss. This looks like a boss arena, and there's like gold, like, you know, shafts everywhere that you can like bust, or there's the ones where you kind of looks like it'll explode out if you hit down on it. So yeah, like that. It's, you can normally fill it up, but I'm sure if things get, you know, frantic, having one of them, you could pop and make it go quicker. It's great. I think it's a really, really good game. This is, I really like, Mario Kart World, but I think this is the game that should have,
onto the system. I think,
yeah,
I
I get it. I get Mario Kart launching with it, but this is like the first, this is a game for the gamers. You know what I mean? Like, the Mario Kart's for everybody. Everybody loves it. You know what I mean? So it makes sense. But like, this is like the game that you could dig into and sink some serious hours into. I mean, I guess you could, obviously, like, I will sink thousands of hours in Mario Kart. But,
like, I'll be playing Mario Kart when the Switch 2 is done, right? Like, we'll still be playing it.
Yeah. It's just... But it's like, yeah, it's like a sports, you know, action, you know, racing, whatever. Like, it's a different thing. This is like the big first big, like,
it's real game. The new thing, right? Yeah. Like, because as new as Mario Kart World is, and for all the new things they do, like, it's still a kart racer. Like, you're still doing races. Yeah. This is the new thing. Like, Donkey Kong is. This is the reason to own a Switch 2. Like,
yeah, and what's cool is Chris likes a Donkey Kong game now.
Yeah,
since the arcade original.
Yeah, I think I liked Donkey Kong Jr. I might have liked that one too, but like, it's since the arcades, so
Donkey Kong Jr. was legit. Did you like Donkey Kong 3?
I'm sure I played it. It's I think the first level is, if I remember correctly, the first level is just like the original level of Donkey Kong.
Is it? I thought it was like climbing up vines that shot down at you.
Maybe that's it. Like, there's one that's like, it's another arcade game where it's like, no, it's just the first level again, and then once you get past that, it changes. But
there's the Game Boy one is like that, I think, like the, you know, Game Boy Donkey Kong, which is very good.
Yeah, you guys, like, which I've never played. Like, yeah, I think you guys said that you play through the. We talked about this maybe on our Hall of Fame, maybe. Or maybe it was one of the other Donkey Kong games that came out. But yeah,
it's good.
You guys mentioned that, and I just haven't got to play the Donkey Kong one. It is on NSO, right?
I think it might be. It's like a bridge to Mario versus Donkey Kong. Like, it's like in between original Donkey Kong and Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
I should give it a try. Game.
It's very good. Yeah, you dig it. Like, it's, you know, obviously it's old and old handheld game. Yeah. It's still very good. It's like a top five Donkey Kong game for sure.
Nothing else. You do get a brief moment of playing the original Donkey Kong.
Which is like that first level is super iconic. It's great.
Yeah,
I love it. Donkey Kong Bonanza, really, really good. If you have a Switch 2, which evidently they are in stores, and like people have been able to get them. So
That's pretty good about it. Yeah.
Good on Nintendo for having stock, because part of Parts and Parcel came out this week. What, biggest launch month for a console in North America?
Yep.
With 1.6 million sold in June. So it's not like they, it's not like they're sitting there, they're being sold. And it seems like they had enough for a restock with Donkey Kong. Flip side, I assume none was traded. Mario Party Jamboree does not seem like it got a ton of great reviews on the Switch too. So
yeah, what I saw today was that like the was it Plus TV? Is that what's the TV part?
Part is Plus Jamboree TV. So it's
that's the part people are like, this isn't very good.
like that's it. That's like the new thing. Like right?
Yeah, like everyone's like, you know, it's a really good Mario Party game, but this new stuff ain't great.
You know what's so funny though is I think the one before that was better because it was like a compilation of all the best mini games. Like I think I kind of prefer that one.
Well, which one was that?
That's the one before the newest one.
It's Mario Party Superstars, right? There's Super Mario Party and then Super Mario. It's Super Mario Party and then Super Mario. Yes, so one of those two. It's either Superstars or Super Mario Party, but I think it's
whatever the one before the recent, most recent one it was. Yeah. I think it was like a compilation of all the best and was so good. Like I think it's like the best.
Well, I've heard good things about Jamboree. Like the reviews say the core game is still probably one of the best Mario parties.
Jamboree's great, but yeah, I just kind of prefer the one before. But like the last two have been really good.
Superstars is the one that was curated from the previous entries.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the one before that was Super Mario.
Yeah. Yeah. So Superstars.
Have all of them been good? Like.
Yes. No. I
think I played a Mario Party game like once.
Two. You gotta play one. I would recommend. Not Jamboree, but the one before. The one before that,
Superstars, okay,
is good, but the next two are much better, I think.
Okay.
For you,
this is my opinion. And in my opinion, like the one before Jamboree is the best.
Yes, which is Superstars. Yes, I think to Jeff's point, I think if I was to play one, I would probably pick Superstars.
Okay.
I would not do Super because that is, I mean, for lack of a better term, that is a Switch Mario Party, which means that it's like multiplayer. It's only one Joy-Con, and it's a bit more of a casual.
Yeah, they want you to use the Joy-Cons with it. I think you have to use the Joy-Cons with it, which right away is like a deal breaker for me. Yeah, that was it. You had to use the Joy-Cons, so you needed four Joy-Cons, and like who the fuck wants to play on a Joy-Con? Fuck that.
So if I were to get one to play like with my family, get Superstars.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's the best, like it's the best overall. Like it's just a fantastic fucking Mario Party game. All right. It's the greatest hits. Like it's, you know.
Yeah. There are Mario Party games on NSO too, I think.
Yeah,
those old ones are great.
Yeah.
I mean, for what they are.
Right. The original N64 games. So all right. Well that's Donkey Kong. There were some other games that came out, and it's been a weird go because I think like a bunch of stuff came out since we last recorded. Some big stuff too, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, which I believe Jeff has played a bunch of, and I played some of. I don't know if you other two played any, but. You played a bunch more than I have.
I guess. I mean, I wouldn't say I've played a bunch of it. Hey, man, if you like the last one, Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remake is basically that, but with 3 and 4. Very well done. Like, you won't notice the difference between the developers, I don't think.
No, it feels if you were like, this is Vicarious Visions, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And Iron Galaxy has done a great job here.
And I think, you know, the games that they're pulling from are both, you know, really, I would put their, like, right up there with 1 and 2. Like, you know, 3 and 4 are great games. There are new levels in this one that are awesome. There's two things, like, keeping me from playing it a bunch. You know, one is, I don't think I'm as good as I used to be. And the other thing is that there's just, you know, this came out while I was in the middle of playing Dragon Quest XI, which I'm still playing, and now there's Donkey Kong. And I was also playing Pikmin 4, so I was like, you know, I love Tony Hawk, but I love all those games a little bit more.
It's, and like, it's like the fourth best option.
Yes, yes. And I'm more, you know, Dragon Quest is a first-time play for me. I'm more engrossed in it. I think it just shows how over the last few years I've just, like, really have, like, gravitated towards RPGs. But, you know, somewhere in my little heart there is that, you know, arcade sports thing that I still love. And, yeah, this is excellent, I think. Like, you know, nothing bad to say about it. Like, I'm enjoying it. Like,
yeah, it's really good. I am also in the same boat. I'm not as good at it as I was.
I used to be much better.
And I think you are much, much better than me. And now, like, I'm struggling to, like, get the high scores on levels. Like,
I'm struggling to get skate in, like, the Tony Hawk 4 levels. The skate letters are, like, so deviously placed where you're, like, you need to have special and somehow, like, get, like, great height and, like, somehow land perfectly to get these letters. And I'm supposed to get all of them in 2 minutes? What the fuck? Like, there's some, like, very hard... just getting skate, which is like used to be like the easiest thing in every level for me. Like, oh, just go get the five letters. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like sometimes
not even combo. Not even combo. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to find where they are. And here's like, I see where the T is, but how the fuck do I get up there? Like, but yeah, I don't know. Overall, I think they're very fun levels. I don't know if you've gotten to any of the new levels, Chris, but the water park one is awesome.
So. And the way I play this is probably not like, I mean, you bounce around, right? Like
that's how you get those stats.
So I started Tony Hawk 3 and I like played through Foundry, got everything there. And then I started on the Canada level, whatever that is. And I'm like trying to make my way through that.
So you got the, grind the molten bucket before you moved on. Oh my god, dude, it's so hard for me. Was that hard for you, or you just like
get lucky? I mean, it took a while. The one that was hard for me was the hidden tape.
Oh, that's easy. You just go up the
sky. Yeah, I couldn't land on I figured out how to get
on
up there.
On the beam.
I kept like jumping over it or sliding off the edge, and
that was nothing.
I did. Like, yeah, it's everyone like has like a weird.
The molten bucket, it was so hard to reach. Like, even if you did like a boneless or whatever to like get high, like higher jump off, I just couldn't reach it. But you come back with higher stats and it becomes a lot easier because you have much higher jump and all that.
Yeah, you improve your air
stats so,
and stuff like that.
It was still hard for me, but like when I came back, I got it in a few tries. But yeah, I highly recommend bouncing between the two games because. You're going to get those, like, the stat points that you can find in levels. They're always so easy in the first few levels. That way you can build up your skater, and then it makes the rest of the game, like, both of the games easier. Like, the game is designed to be played that way, I think. I don't know, like,
And even the base game, like, so if you're just, like, playing Tony Hawk 3, like, I've unlocked Rio, right. So I think that's the third level. But like I'm still like working through Canada, and it's like I could just go to Rio, and then beating Rio unlocks the fourth level. But I'm like, no, I can do this. I can.
It's just when you have two games to bounce between, there's more low hanging fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you'd improve your character quicker that way. I think it's a really good version of
it's excellent
of that. So I remember Foundry and I remember the Canada level. So I definitely know I played 3. I think I fell off before playing 4. So like those will actually be new levels for me, I think.
The levels are so big. And like, again, getting like the skate, like even just like the basic shit, getting skate. And I forgot which one. I don't know if it was 3 or 4, but there's an awesome. I want to say it's in 3. Have you gotten the Suburbia?
No.
There's a level, I want to say it's in 3, so it's not like massive like the ones are 4.
I think it's the fourth level. So if I beat whatever the first one where you get a medal at, it would unlock that next one.
I think that might be my favorite of the classic levels because it is just a little cul-de-sac, like a suburban, you know, cul-de-sac, but it's set on Halloween. So like I was all decorated and there's leaves everywhere. And then it's like, you know, one of the goals is like find five pumpkins and smash them.
Right.
You know, grind off them or whatever. Like,
I do think it's some just of the
cool vibe, you know,
the, some of the, they're not quests, but like the missions you get to do, it's like the tasks or goals or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there's the one on the Canada level, which is like, basically you got to like jump into a tree and it'll knock snow down on top of the bully.
Yep.
Or there's a kid who's like licked a light pole and you got to like run into him to knock him free. Like they're fun.
I had so much trouble finding both of those two goals. And I was like, I know it's in this little tree area. And I was just like, I must have did like 10 runs before I could find them. Like, I don't know why. I must have been skating right past them and missing it. But yeah, now I know exactly what you're talking about with Canada.
Yeah, they're fun. And then, like, I think there's one.
You know, the one with the shark on the boardwalk?
No, I didn't do that one.
There's one where there's like a guy, like he's like suspended above the water on a boardwalk and there's like a shark trying to kill him. And you have to like knock like a statue, like a ball off a statue. So it rolls into the fucking, like basically into the shark.
That's funny.
I was like, Chris will appreciate this one.
Yeah. Those are good. There's fun some quests.
There's a good, like a few good comedic ones in every, like where you're like, you know, fucking somebody up or saving somebody in some funny way.
Yeah. And they change the level sometimes too when you do them, right? Like, in the Canada level, you skate by the bully, he'll throw a snowball at you and kind of knock you off course if you skate too close to him. So hitting him, getting the tree and knocking the snow on him will stop him from doing that going forward.
There's an awesome one in, I want to say the level is Los Angeles. I want to say it's in Tony Hawk 3 where there's like a police chase going on and there's an earthquake that happens. Like, yeah, like, and that's the thing. That's even that was in Tony Hawk 1 and 2. There's always like something that alters the level or opens up a new area in the level.
Yeah.
And, you know, for as old as these like games are like that, it's still fun. It's still fun, like arcade gaming.
Yeah, they were smart arcade games like for that era, and they just made them look really good now. So they're fun stuff. Yeah. All on Game Pass. Go give it a go if you're Tony Hawk fans. Tony, did you play anything else over the last couple weeks?
Oh yeah, I played lots of things. I've been playing, still making my way through Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm okay. In the last chapter. That game turns dark towards the end. It gets very, very dark. I don't want to spoil it in case any of you try to play through it, but man, that game.
I remember the original had a pretty dark ending.
Yeah, no.
The G-Men come for you.
Yeah, and they kill you in the barn like that. This game is thematically very similar.
Yeah.
But I found myself like trying to like force my way through to the end, and I was enjoying it less. So I kind of like took a step back for a little while. So I've been playing some Total War.
Okay.
Lots of Total War. In fact, I finished my Kush campaign in Rome Total War 2. So I conquered Rome. I was able to like. It's actually interesting. I've never played as a non-Roman faction in the game before, so I actually captured the city of Rome, and you like they've modeled the entire city in the game, so you literally get to like conquer Rome, which is cool. So like my elephants were like defeating the last of the enemy outside the Colosseum. It was super cool.
Yeah, I bet that looks awesome.
It looked really, really good. And that game, like, it came 2014, I want to say. It still looks really good. And then I won that campaign, and I decided to move on to what is like the known as the hardest Total War game, which is Total War Attila. It's hard for a number of reasons. The biggest being like the game spends the entire time super trying to kill you. It's like Total War, Dark Souls. Like, it's literally every empire is like, you're evil. We're going to wipe you off the map. It's really hard. If you've ever played through a Total War game, as you play, like, you get, like, the game is divided into chapters. And normally the chap for each, like, civilization, and they give you, like, goals in the chapters to like, accomplish. Like, if you're Rome, maybe it's to conquer this particular territory near Rome or whatever it happens to be. In Total War Attila, the first goal in every chapter is just survive. Like, it's like, survive until 402 AD. Survive until 420 AD. Like, it's just like, can you live long enough to get...
Don't die, then we'll let you play.
Don't die. That's it. The whole thing is just don't die. So I've been playing as the Vandals. The cool thing about the Vandals, they're so like the goal is to like find a homeland for your people and then expand. Like there's a Roman Empire, they're already established. You need to like fight your way into the Roman Empire and find a place to settle and start out. So like I took my Vandals. I like fought my way through the entire empire. You start in like you're like in Eastern Europe, and there's nothing there, and you don't want to like establish yourself there because the game is called Total War Attila, and so Attila is going to be coming out of the Russian steppes, and if you put your little empire there, he's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. So you need to go somewhere else. You need to like get far, far away. That's the goal. So I'm like, okay, where am I going to go? And I decide to go to Africa. So like I fight my way down. All the way through the Balkans, I get into the Mediterranean. I sack the island of Crete, like I burn it to the ground. Then I sail to Africa and I fight my way across Africa. I like found my little empire there and I start expanding. Except this is the hardest Total War game to expand in. Like everyone hates you if you declare war. Like those civilizations you declare war on will fight you to the death, and they will throw every single army that they can at you. It's like, it's just so hard. I've been slowly expanding. I finally like made it. I made it out of Africa. I conquered Sicily, and now I'm fighting like the remnants of the Roman Empire. They hate my guts and they're throwing like all these elite level armies at me. I'm like throwing like really low level troops and like trying to fight them off. One of the decisions I made fighting this campaign was I was going to fight all the battles myself. There's like an auto resolve function that you can use, which will like, you know, roll a die and see if you win. So you
right.
can actually fight the battles yourself. I decided to fight them all myself, even if I was like at a huge disadvantage or whatever. And it's been super fun to like find all kinds of different tactics. Like I've built armies that are specifically different from each other. So like when I'm fighting battles, I'm having like different experiences. I fought some really, really cool battles too. Like you kind of get a sense of like what the AI is going to do. And you see some of them where you're like, I'm attacking this army and we're of equal strength. And they've like established themselves on this hillside. And like, so I like walk my army up to just outside arrow range. And I just kind of like start moving to the left. And to the left, and they're sitting in the middle of the hill, and they're like turning their army to face me as I move to the left. And I keep moving to the left and to the left and to the left to the point where like I'm sliding past them, and now we're both on the middle of the hill. And then I'm on the top of the hill and they're still on the middle of the hill. Like, okay, my guys are gonna charge down now. Goodbye. I'm having lots of fun experiences like fighting battle after battle. It's been really good. So I am going to take my Vandals. I'm going to see how far I can get. Survive. That's my goal. Survive.
There you go. Survive. Anything else?
No, I think those two are the big ones.
All right.
We'll get into Donkey Kong this week. It's going to happen.
Good.
The week of Donkey Kong.
Ooh, banana.
Yeah, I think we will be talking about Donkey Kong at the end of the year for sure, so.
Yeah.
Earl, you play anything this over the last couple weeks?
What have I played? Probably stuff I talked about before. I played more Pirate's Ward, I want to say that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. I think when we last spoke, that's the Zeta Spire with its pirate's theme. You beat runs. I beat my first run, unlock some new characters and stuff like that. I like that they do include stuff like bounties and other sub quests, so you're not just doing the same thing over and over again. There are like random objectives and missions that pop up throughout your run that are unique sometimes. I paid more Orcs Must Die. I guess another, not roguelike really, because it does have some structure, but we beat our first boss last night. That remains fun.
The new one, right?
Yes, Death Trap, I think it's called.
Yes.
That's a ton of fun. I think those were the big ones, really. I've played a bunch of board games recently, but we can have a board game discussion another time because you do also have something else to talk about later tonight. So
that's yes, it. We do. We should do a board game episode at some point between what we've all been playing. Jeff, did you come back? Just muted. I guess he did not.
Goodbye, Jeff. Bye.
Yeah. I'm going to save Shadow Labyrinth for next week. The new Pac-Man curious. Game.
Yes, I was very curious about that. And I don't know why in my head I keep on thinking it's a sequel to... What was the Epic game on Xbox Live?
Shadow Complex. I kept doing that this week too, Earl. Yeah, I kind of like Shadow Complex. Yeah, I did like Shadow Complex. It's a completely different game.
Okay.
Yeah. Shadow Labyrinth is the Pac-Man game. Shadow Complex is the Epic game from, I think it was 360 era, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was like one of the first big Xbox Live arcade games I can remember.
Yeah. That. Yeah, that was a good game. We'll save Pac-Man for next week. I need to play more of it. I'm currently stuck in like the third area and I don't know where to go. So that's been a little bit frustrating, but we'll talk about
time,
that then.
Time to pack it in.
bad pun, but let's quickly do some news before we get to our topic of discussion. Splitgate 2, which was announced back in it was announced back in June at the Games Fest. The one dev famously came out in a make first person shooters great again hat. Got some shit for that. They launched out of beta at that point.
Amazing, because they made first-person shooters great again, right?
That's no. So,
oh damn it!
They're going back to beta. Evidently, reception has not been quite as good as they were hoping. Some of the things that people are complaining about, I also have issue with, like. You can only play, you can't choose what mode you want to play. Like in Call of Duty, you go, I want to play Team Deathmatch, and that's all I want to play. You can like set indicators to do that. Same for Halo. Like I want to play Slayers, and like you just play Slayer. This is just a hopper, and it throws you into whatever game mode it wants.
Probably because there's not enough players to like,
yeah.
that generally is what it is, but that's one of the big complaints. And so they said they're going to work on doing that. They're going to rework progression, which where I fell off was like I had already maxed out one of the three factions. Starting over, like having weaker guns with a different faction didn't sound like a fun idea. So they're going to rework progression and they're going to shut down the Splitgate 1 servers so that they
save
can
money.
Yeah. So they can keep some of their staff. So it does sound like they're going to lay off some people. Splitgate 2, no longer a live game. it's a game you can play, but it's back in beta. So,
it's not great again. It's the
no. Yeah, I don't think they made first-person shooters great again.
Maybe they can make first-person shooters great again.
Again, yeah.
Maybe that's their goal.
We're going to do this again. Outer Worlds, that is the Obsidian game that's coming out later this year. It had been announced that was going to be the first $80 game coming out of Microsoft. They've walked that back. It's going to be a $70 game now.
Who buys these games anyway? I couldn't have told you what the price was because they're all on Game Pass. It's
right.
Like, my price is $0. I don't know what your price is. If you're paying $80, you're paying too much. If you're paying $70, you've made a huge mistake.
It just goes to this feeling that I have that Microsoft has zero clue what they're doing. Like,
what? No.
Like, they're giving games away for free. The games are $80. We're canceling games left and right. We're closing studios left and right. It's just like they've just been flailing for two generations now. Despite the fact that, like, I love my Xbox and a lot of the games that they do put out, I enjoy. It just feels like they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Compared to Nintendo was like just rock solid. Still, like,
well, and I think that's the issue, right? Nintendo is games. Like
they're not giving their games away, and some of their games are expensive. But like,
right. But the other side is Microsoft isn't just games, right? They're a whole different. Like they're multi-trillion-dollar company. Outside of Xbox is such a small fraction of them. And a lot of the decisions they made, like Game Pass, are because Microsoft has transitioned from a software company to being a service company. So they've transitioned their Xbox division from being a games company to a service company. Now we give Game Pass. That is our big thing. It just isn't working out. Games are different than Microsoft is selling. I feel that there are two groups within Microsoft that are fighting each other. and the guy at the top, Nadal, is the one that's winning. He's the one that gets to call the shots. Like, do what I say or, move aside because we're going to do what I say.
I just hope they figure it out because... they're moving towards a third party.
And I think that's been we've said that for a while. It isn't a bad thing necessarily.
Always want my Xbox. I think it's like the superior system always. And so I wish they would keep going. But it's just like, dude, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you doing?
It's really hard to understand. maybe these new handhelds that are coming out October, November but that's not the direction, but maybe that's kind of like where you're not going to see Microsoft make an Xbox, but maybe Samsung makes an Xbox and it's just like holds the ecosystem. So your games are still there, but you can play them anywhere. Cause that seems to be what they want you to do. Who knows? I have no idea. What I do know is you can't buy movies or television on Xbox anymore.
That's also like crazy. They shut down their movie store. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I buy my games through Amazon and watch them on Xbox, but like,
it's crazy.
What? Yeah, I don't.
Sony did this a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Sony is an entertainment company.
Yeah, but if you have that, like, I don't understand getting rid of it. I just don't get it. Like, obviously, if you bought the movies on there, I think you could still watch them, so it's not like a huge deal. But it's just like,
it's like I have a bunch on there, and I'm like, what's gonna happen? But I have Movies Anywhere, which connects to the two. It's like you watch them on other platforms. It doesn't even matter.
More than anything, I'd be more like, there's so many options, and I think that's probably what they thought. Because like, Movies Anywhere, I think really has been a godsend. As soon as Paramount gets their fingers out of their ass and actually starts supporting it.
Will now that the Trump administration has allowed them to merge with Skydance. So
Yeah, that's a whole different beast.
Yeah, that's completely different, but maybe they will get their thumb out of there. But yes, yeah, so I guess you can only buy Sony movies on their system now, supposedly. That was all taken off, and they didn't allow you to continue watching those movies. They just took them. Like, we don't offer movies.
Are you serious, Sony? And, like,
yeah, they just wiped it from your your account.
That's like, I've moved shitty away from physical media, even when it comes to the movies. But like, that makes me just be like, I don't know, man. If it's a movie you really care about, maybe you should just get it. Like,
well,
it's like the thing that everybody who was concerned about the digital movie
industry, yeah, it's 100% that, yeah.
And Jeff and I we experienced this too, because like some movies just aren't available. Yeah, so I had to mail Jeff a movie.
I mean,
him to watch.
I'm sure I could do nefarious means for it, but I was happy to just watch it legally.
There are so many movies that legit, like, I want to, like, for instance, I mean, it's available now. The longest time, True Lies is just not available on streaming.
Yeah. Now you can get it with bad, like, fucking AI motion smoothing.
Oh, is the streaming version bad?
I heard, like, all of James Cameron's.
Like, the whole thing that he did was just, like, an AI upscale. So
it gives it this very, like, kind of motion smoothing, but also just, like, uncanny valley thing that's going on, which is fucked up. Not all of us are like that. I do own.
I think it was the three new ones that he did recently, which is.
There was one that was not that bad. What do I own that was pretty good, I thought? The original Terminator was pretty good.
But I think those were before, weren't they? Because I think Terminator 2 were done before. No,
Terminator 2 was like one of the worst 4Ks of all time, supposedly. Yeah.
What but about like the Abyss? Was that one of the new ones?
Yeah, that was one that had like weird shit, like looking. True Lies was like, I saw a bunch of people bitching about how like crazy it looks. Like, you're looking at someone's face and there's just this, like, this uncanny valley thing going on.
I still do have a physical version of True Lies. I don't have one of the Abyss, though. So I guess Microsoft recommends you go to Amazon, Apple, Vudu, I think was the other one they suggested. And you can link through Movies Anywhere.
Vudu's
now.
Hey, most physical movies you buy come with the Movies Anywhere code. So, like,
that's right.
There you go.
What were you saying, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to say, because Vudu's, what is it now? It's
Fandango.
Yes.
Hmm.
Fandango.
Which is weird. Yeah.
Wasn't Vudu originally like Walmart's?
Yeah, version? I think so. Yeah. And like Vudu, I think,
passed around.
It was good. Their transfers look good, but like, yeah, not Tango at Home. Weird.
Well, I would say that, and also I think of the movies, they also tend to do the best sales, I find.
Oh, Fandango does?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I'll have to keep an eye on them. So I normally, like, it's just easier to, especially having an iPhone. Like, if I want to rent a movie, just like open my iPhone and like hit go and just put my pin in there, and then it shows up on my Xbox. But
you what, through Apple then, or
I rent a movie, it's normally, so I can, like, when I think I want to rent a movie, like, I'm normally not sitting right in front of my television, so
for me, it's Amazon, just because I have an Amazon Prime subscription, so all my info is entered into that. So like, I just get everything through Amazon. You know, I got the Amazon app on my Prime app on my Xbox. But I will say that, like, sometimes the transfers from Amazon, like for some older movies, like, look like shit. You're like, man. I you know, you're like, should I have gotten it from like Scream Factory? You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna do a good job, and Amazon is like, it's like a dice roll. But you know, with newer movies, you're generally fine. Like, you know,
yeah, it's the older stuff that generally you're gonna run into issues. Well, speaking of movies, the one you can watch on Tubi. So that's where I watched it today. Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Earl, this is our next video game movie.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Earl's very excited. He loved this movie. You could tell.
I will be honest. I don't hate this movie. It is fascinating because I think it's the first one we watched where I'm like, oh, there's a budget to this movie.
Yeah, it's like Lara Croft versus James Bond and Jorah Mormont. I mean, it's so exciting.
It did fight. I was like, is that fucking Daniel Craig? He looks like Daniel Craig. It's not Daniel Craig.
Holy shit, it's Daniel Craig. Doesn't sound like Daniel Craig at all, but it is him.
Yes, I remember the first time I saw this movie ages ago. Like, oh, that American accent is so funky coming from him. But yeah, it's still funky coming from him.
Angelina Jolie looks the part.
She does. They spent a lot of time trying to make her look cool and look like Tomb Raider. I think that's probably the best thing the movie does, is like trying to make her look awesome. That's the goal, the entire goal of the movie.
Yes, and they do a good job. She looks great.
Yeah, she looks great. Like in the action sequences, she looks great. She's doing awesome stuff. Like she looks like the main character of a video game with giant breasts and, you know, whatever else Lara Croft is supposed to have.
Dude, she was so hot back in the day. I didn't watch this, but I was a big fan of it.
you've seen it though, right, Jeff?
No, I've never seen.
Oh, you've never seen Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
It's eminently watchable as like a mid '90s action film.
I think I'm sure I would enjoy it just because definitely is. I just like just recently I watched Black Widow with Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh, and I was like, the movie could have been terrible, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like Angelina Jolie, I thought was so hot. You know, back in that era. So, but I did see like the recent one with the Ex Machina girl.
Alicia Vikander.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, Tony did bring up a point. Is I watched this and my first thought was like, this is such an early. If you could, there's a certain thing about movies made like right after The Matrix. We can kind of tell with the like extreme video
studio notes were
crunchy like rock music.
There's even a scene. I think it's right at the beginning, and I was like, this looks like it was ripped from the fucking Matrix. She's fighting the robot thing.
Yeah,
but it's behind like the pillar
because it's like her training thing.
Yeah, it's in her training area.
That whole opening to the movie, it has absolutely nothing to the story. It's just like, let's look at Angelina Jolie do an action sequence and let's put her in the shower and let's look at her there too. Like it's just
that's hysterical too. They put her in the shower and like you keep getting like small glances of like side boob, and then she's like thrusting her hair back and the water spraying, and it's like this makes no sense.
Let's have her walk around naked in front of her butler and see like his reaction. They do the same thing later on with Daniel Craig, so it's not like only Angelina Jolie.
Yes, it just doesn't make. It's like what? We're just gonna have hot people run around naked, I guess.
Cool, that's fine. That's fine. I can support this.
I did think the robot thing was gonna come back later. Nope. Because like she breaks the robot, they make a comment about it, and then they get attacked in the manor, and he's like trying to turn it on, and it's he gets like a game over screen.
No,
it's like they're not going to bring the robot back. Like, okay,
no, and then a very minor thing because I think Chris mentioned this when he was talking about his impressions on Blue Sky was it's not the Indiana Jones movie. Which, I mean, fair, whatever. But it's weird that she's not, like, the smartest person. Because she gets told her mission by her dad, who gives her the first answer as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait, if this is Indiana Jones, he would have figured it out or something. It's like, no, My dad sent me a note from before he died to be delivered on this day specifically.
That's how you know it's not woke.
Because the girl knows smart.
Yeah, I know she's best. Smart later on, though, because like as they're like having all like the challenges and the puzzles, she's the one who figures everything out, right?
Yes.
Everybody in this movie is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It's. I think Tony, you kind of said it like it. You know, they're having her do like video gamey things, and I think that's its strength and also its weakness.
I thought that. I was thinking that, especially. I think near the climax where they're on like that rotating globe, and she's like jumping from pillar to pillar.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is such a video game-esque action sequence, but I'm actually kind of here for it.
Yeah. It looks weird as having an actual human do that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at her flail along as she jumps from globe to globe.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is so unique that it actually works for me.
Yeah. Like, it's goofy, but it does... It's watchable. It's an entertaining film.
It is. I feel like as an actual movie, it's probably the best actual movie we've seen so far.
Yes. Again, you can tell that the budget to it and stuff.
Yes.
There's actual actors in this movie. Like Daniel Craig, her dad, John Voight, you know, him being whatever he turns out to be, the difference.
Oh, John Voight's her dad?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really weird because, like, if you know their history after this film, yeah. Like, they don't really interact.
I mean, he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, or they didn't for years. I don't know. But, yeah, absolutely weird.
Now, Daniel Craig is a bit of a different one because this is before...
This is before he was big, right? Yeah. This is before he was Daniel Craig.
Yeah, he would get Bond. I think this is like 2001, and he wouldn't be Bond until 2006.
Yes.
But yeah, like him and the guy from Game of Thrones. But he has that face that's like you are evil no matter what you're in.
Oh, Ian Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again.
Yeah.
A movie that I think it has actual sets, and they filmed on location, and there's extras and scenes and stuff they did. Because like everything else you watch, even the ones I've enjoyed, you could tell they had like $5 for the budget.
Yeah,
and also if you were gonna do it now, you would not spend the money on that. Like, you could fake it all.
Oh, absolutely! Like they built like temples and stuff. For this movie, that if they were doing it now, like a lot would just be green screen.
Yeah, and that's a whole different conversation to be had. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by, again, I think doing it in order, because I think if I hadn't, it's a good movie, but I don't think it's great. But like doing it after seeing some of the other stuff, I mean, like, oh my gosh, there's a budget here. Somebody actually wants to give them money. Go video games.
Well, I mean, let's go ahead and compare this as a movie to like Mortal Kombat Annihilation. You're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Right. Like
the best movie ever. It's Citizen Kane. All right. It's
these people, like, they put money into the sets. They hired actual actors and actresses.
Yes.
Like the acting is really bad. Right. And she looks great throughout it. Like, they clearly love, like, whoever wrote this or, you know, directed it. Simon West is the one that directed it, who did Con Air and
classic shit, bro.
Yeah.
And
the classic action films,
right? Yeah.
Like,
not the same thing, but it's also really funny that this is called The Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Uh-huh.
And not just like Tomb Raider, because they're like, oh, we need. And again, don't think Tomb Raider is a term that's used often, but the movie's like, yeah, we're going to say it. we have two Tomb Raiders now. I'm like, this is not a term. This is not a conversation.
Yeah, they. She, like, in the game, she is portrayed as way smarter than she is here. Like,
yeah.
In this, she is just like, oh, you're an amateur. You're a rich lady, who came into a big fortune, and you have been passing interest. You're like an amateur archaeologist.
Yes, which is why I thought it was such a weird change to not make her, like, it was really, I think, when her dad sent her to that, I'm like, oh, he's just giving her the plot of the movie.
Yes.
And I don't really get the, I mean, I get the confusion, I get to a degree. So she traveled back in time to see her dad, who told her not to save him. And then she traveled back to the present to, I don't know how she changed the moment, not the momentum, the direction of the knife.
that part makes no sense. Like, why are you grabbing it by the blade? Yeah, by the way, you could just grab it by the handle. What are you doing?
And, like, walk around it. Like, you've frozen time.
You froze time, and she's doing it the most awkward and harmful way possible. I'm like, okay. I felt like I missed something here. So it wasn't just
me. Maybe she's into the pain. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
That, and then, so after, you know, she changes time, saves James Bond, the knife goes into the guy, and then he's like, this kind of taunts her. And she goes over, and they both pull their guns on each other. And they're like, he's like, no guns. And they, like, casually put them down on the ground. Like, why would it? What's going on?
Let's fight now.
Right.
And then all of his people just left, right? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah, everybody else leaves.
They're like, oh, yeah, this place is fall. Why is it collapsing? I don't know. How do they know it's collapsing? I don't know. But it is. It is collapsing.
In fact, right after he get, like, she changes the trajectory of the knife, he gets stabbed, and, like, that dude's entire security team's like, all right, well, we're out.
Yeah,
that's he just pick up and leave.
He got stabbed the first instant is we're gone.
Maybe there was, like, a self-harm thing in their contract. like he threw that knife, he hit himself, that voids everything, we are out now.
Yep. We're no one void. Goodbye. It's a fun movie. I had a good time with it. I'm glad it was on Tubi, but
yes.
All right, where are we falling on this? Where are we ranking Lara Croft's Tomb Raider? Jeff, you didn't watch it, so. Earl, where do you want to put this at?
I kind of want to put it at a B.
Okay.
I think it's a very enjoyable and solid movie, but I also kind of think, like, it will be a movie like in a month or so we won't remember what happened.
Absolutely. I've seen this movie before, probably more than once, and I very little about it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember a damn thing about it. It's like, this is a new experience to me. And I know I've seen this movie before.
The two things I remember about the movie was the opening sequence, because it's, like, really, it's a good way to open a movie, but it also, like, does nothing for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it absolutely has nothing to do. It's like, it's just, like, wasted time.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
And then again, because I had seen it after James Bond, Daniel Craig's accent, which I guess isn't counts as a movie. It's just like, what are you doing, man?
He looks super young in this too.
It does. Baby Daniel Craig, baby Jorah Mormont. It's just like children acting.
I'm also going to place it at a B. Tony, where are you at?
There's a part of me that wants to give it an A, just because, like, it's so much better than all the other movies that we watch. So I think I'm going to give it an A. I don't know that it's necessarily an A movie, but in terms of video game movies, it's probably an A.
That is fair. Yeah,
that's fair. All right, so where do we put this overall? A, B.
Wait, where was yours?
B. I'm putting it in B as well. It says Jeff didn't watch it.
Sounds like a B.
You're saying it sounds like a B. All right. We put it at B. That means our joint is that we Mortal Kombat still comes out on top, but I think Earl, you're right. Like in a month, we're not going to remember what happened in Lara Croft Tomb Raider. We may remember that we had a good time, though.
Yes. I specifically remember parts of Mortal Kombat. I do.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Earl, what's our next movie?
Well, we're going to a little town called Raccoon City.
Okay.
The first Resident Evil.
Resident Evil from 2002?
Yeah. Two.
All right. Then this is the first of, what, seven of these movies?
Yeah, we're not watching all of them, are we?
Six. We're not watching all of them.
No, just the first one.
No? Oh, I think over time we're going to watch them all.
We're we're not watching them all. arguably the best of the Paul W.S. Anderson ones. So
they do get broken up a bit, so I think there's one time you have to watch two of them back to back. Other than that, I think they get broken up by other movies, because between the next one and the sequel, we get another Tomb Raider and House of the Dead.
House of the Dead, that's one that I never thought I'd revisit, but
yeah, I can't wait to answer questions on that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, so for our August movie, it'll be Resident Evil 2002. Believe we'll be back next week. Maybe sure. Tony will play some Donkey Kong.
I hope so.
Jeff will maybe finish Donkey Kong.
Maybe. I mean, I'm there.
Yeah, you're pretty close to the end. So once you get that gold, we'll talk Shadow Labyrinth next week. And
just real quick, should I get it?
Wait till next week.
Okay.
Let me play a little bit more. There's things about it I really like, but I'm currently lost in the game. In like the third area, so I don't know if I can find my way out of that. Maybe it may change my opinion. Otherwise, as Tony said, might be time to move on. So I'll have better impressions next week. So we'll talk about that then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.